You're listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast with Angela Henderson, episode 187. Hey there, you're listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast. My name is Angela Henderson, and on this show, we talk about improving your business, life, or both by having amazing and rich conversations with brilliant guests who will inspire you and who will give you tips and tricks to help you grow both in life and in business. Well, hey there, and welcome back to another awesome episode of the Business and Life Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Ange, from Angela Henderson Consulting, where I'm an international award-winning business consultant and coach who has helped thousands of amazing women business owners get all the pieces in place to have consistent 4- and 5-figure months and then on to 6- and 7-plus-figure years without burning out in the process. Today is a podcast episode that super, super excites me for so many different reasons. You see, we're talking today on the podcast with the amazing Joanna Hunter on infusing spiritual wisdom into your business for a new way of growth. This is a conversation that I can only wish someone would have been given me when I first started out in business. It would have allowed me to understand that you can do business with both masculine and feminine energy. You can have a business that has ease, joy, and flow. In today's podcast, you're going to hear how Joanna went from literally being in the hospital, told she wasn't going to make it out, to now putting herself first with self-care, which has led to the most amazing self-love. We also talk about feminine energies versus masculine energy, and what does this even mean? But we also talk about infusing spiritual wisdom into your business for a new way of growth. It's an episode I would encourage you to seriously sit with. Just sit with and embrace the awesomeness. Embrace some of these new concepts that you may have never heard before, just like I did many years ago. Allow yourself the opportunity to hear business in a new way. But before we hop on this amazing episode, I wanted to remind you that if you're feeling stuck in your business, you have so many ideas in your head, but you don't know where to start or what to work on that's going to get the biggest ROI, you have zero strategy, right? You don't know what to do to move your business forward, but you know you need some help with clarity in order to really move on, I would encourage you to head to my website and explore the variety of ways that I can support you, regardless if it's one-on-one support, my mastermind, my 12-month Profit Pillars Accelerator program, or one of my VIP days. I'm here to support you in whatever feels in alignment with you and strategic growth for you. Head to angelahenderson.com.au and click on the Work With Me button to explore more. Now, let's get into this amazing episode with Joanna. Welcome to the show, Joanna.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited for you to be here. I know I've been watching you from afar inside of Denise's money boot camp for a while, and I just love seeing you continue to grow and grow. You've had an exceptional year on so many levels, which we'll get to in a little while. But yes, I'm so excited for you to be able to be here today, really talking about that spiritual wisdom that not a lot of businesses might be embracing, but in my opinion, should be embracing for so many different levels of goodness. So I'm excited for you to be here today, Joanna.
Thank you. I'm excited to talk about spiritual wisdom, and especially in a business context, because I think a lot of people try and separate spirituality from the business. And actually, as a spiritual being having a human experience, it's very hard to separate, which is why quite often we end up with these businesses that are very unaligned.
Mm-hmm. And alignment, such an important piece, which again, we can talk more because I'm all about alignment. And sometimes my clients get a little bit, well, Ange, I'm here for business strategy, but I'm like, yeah, but I would be negligent if we're just looking at business strategy and not looking at alignment. Sometimes they're not too happy when I talk about that. So we'll talk more about that in a minute. But I always like to ask the fun question for the guests that are on the podcast. And my fun question to you is, I know that you live in Scotland, and I'd love for you to share your all-time favorite place in Scotland and why.
Oh my goodness, I have so many. Scotland is, I live in the Highlands of Scotland. So you've got to kind of make that distinction first, because the Highlands is like it right in the north of Scotland. Mm-hmm. And I think the further north you get in Scotland, the more magical it gets. So awesome. I live not far from Standing Stones, or where the Battle of Culloden mm-hmm. took place. If you've got any Outlander fans, I literally live in Outlander country. So I know a lot of people are very fond of Jamie. I live just really in, and I can't say that I actually have a favorite bit, because there's so many. I just love how magical this land is. And if you ever come and visit Scotland, you really feel it. You really feel the magic that is here. I love ancient storytelling, and on retreats that I've held in my local area, we always bring in a local storyteller to tell these amazing stories about local landmarks, mm-hmm. Giants and fairies, the Queen of the Fae apparently reportedly lives on the Black Isle. There are so many magical spots here, and that's what I live for. I love that.
Oh my gosh, I mean, how could you not just wake up every day with some level of excitement, right? With that much magic just hanging around in your backyard, good things could only happen, right?
It's amazing. It's beautiful.
And not to mention just to think about childhood memories, being able to listen to those beautiful and enriching stories about the fairies and the land. I mean, any kid would be sitting there, you know, big eyes and just embracing it all. So it totally sounds magical. And like I said, I always like to get people to get to know you a little bit more before we really jump into the business side. But now that we know the magic that Scotland has and the love that you have for Scotland, I'd love for you to share with the audience a little bit about where did your business journey start and where has it gone? Because I know I've been following it for a while, and that in itself is pretty magical to see where you started and where you're at.
Yeah, so I am what is called in the business a serial entrepreneur. So I've been an entrepreneur since the age of 23. I have owned multiple businesses during that time. I began coaching people in business or mentoring people in business at the age of 24. At between the age of 23 and 26, I built four separate multiple six-figure businesses from scratch with an initial investment of £3,500, and that was it. So I built those businesses. I had three shops on three different locations. I had a business partnership, 50% partnership in a shoe shop. Mm-hmm. I had a 65-seater cafe and bistro. And then, as if all of that was not challenging enough, I had also a spiritual events pop-up company. And I brought all of them to six figures and multiple six figures. And I worked in all of them for nearly a decade, although the cafe, we had that for 2 years. And then we actually took the cafe space and converted it into a larger store, which was our first business that we opened. And I then hit, in my early 30s, I hit a massive burnout, a huge burnout. I had been living my life in total hustle. And I had bought all of the self-limiting beliefs and probably invented a few of my own, like you've got to work hard for money, those kind of things. And yeah, so I hit this huge burnout, which resulted in collapsing at home with multiple organ failure. And so it wasn't, a lot of people talk about burnout and they're feeling very, they feel very disillusioned and very tired and things. Mine was actually every soft tissue organ in my body was failing. I pushed myself so beyond my limits of what I could physically do that my body did the one thing I wasn't willing to do for myself, which was to put me on a massive timeout. Mm-hmm. In the hospital, I was told to write my letters to my young children and that I wouldn't leave the hospital. And I was asked if I needed a minister or if I wanted a minister to administer last rites. And I had a very awkward conversation about being a spiritualist and that we didn't really go in for ministers. We had mediums instead. But that became a big changing point for me. I realized that if I was going to survive this, I was going to have to change how I lived my life fundamentally and radically. And there was going to be no escaping this if I did not make a commitment to changing my life in the way that I had been living it. And so I signed myself out of the hospital after about 10 days, much to the distress of my doctors and nurses. They really felt like I was dying. So I thought, I came home and I got my journal out for the first time in a long time. And I wrote that self-abuse got me here and only extreme self-care was going to get me out of this. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea what self-care looked like. I'm beyond a bubble bath. I did not know what self-care looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became a journey of first defining it and then embodying it.
And for you, tell me a little bit more. I'm curious to know, like, because a lot of people will think bubble bath is self-care, right? They will think.
So, that. Yeah. And it's definitely, I'm not one of these people that say, no, bubble bath is not self-care. It is definitely part of self-care.
Mm-hmm.
But if that is your only definition of what self-care is, then you, my friend, have a big journey ahead of you. And there is a lot more, so much more. First and foremost, my definition of self-care and self-love, which self-care leads to self-love,
mm-hmm.
is it is 1,000 micro actions that say finally that you are enough and that you are worthy mm-hmm. of love and respect and being honored as mm-hmm. a person.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, what that means is first and foremost, being true to yourself above all others. And I call mm-hmm. this method get selfish, mm-hmm. to really get yourself. I think so many of us are locked in this battle with our inner people pleaser, trying to please all the people. And we always end up with a short end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone's listening to this, I can confirm and attest that there is life after your people pleaser. I had a very ferocious brand of people pleaser, and it meant that I hardly ever made my own list of priorities, hence why I burn out so badly. Mm-hmm. And now I'm on the top of that list of priorities, and it's just a completely different energy. It's completely changed my life. In such incredible and wondrous ways.
And so you started out, obviously, you said, you know, different multiple six-figure businesses. You then obviously hit the burnout component of it. And then you're like, okay, you start prioritizing yourself. You start to infuse the self-care, which is those micro actions you talk about, which is starting to lead to that self-love. You start to prioritize yourself on your to-do list. And then what do you start to get into? Like, what did you have to shed and what did you have to step into to get you to where your business is now?
Well, I sold my shops. Mm-hmm. I'd sold my shoe shop by then as well. We'd already closed the cafe and opened up a bigger shop in the space in the unit that we had. And the only company that can my spirituality. I'd been a lifelong medium. I'd always had an awareness of spirit. And it was like when the stuff hit the fan, it was the thing that I always went back to. I always went back to my spirituality, to my beliefs. I always went inward. And this was no different. I knew that I needed to seek inner guidance. So I spoke with my guides, my angels, and my inner spirit team. And they unfolded this incredible journey through me, which I call my best selfish journey. And I learned to, through that journey, I learned to love myself. I learned to shift and morph. I couldn't work in the way that I'd worked before. I was left with the aftermath of chronic illness. I had a lot of health problems. I ended up with 5 abdominal surgeries afterwards. So our lives changed quite a lot. We went from having obviously quite a lot of money moving through our lives to living on welfare. And I just ran sort of like little small side hustle-y businesses. Everything from crafting to cupcake making, lots of different things. And then just as I was coming towards the end of my healing journey, we were given notice on our accommodation that we have. We were renting, and our landlady came and was full of tears, and she had to sell her house because she needed the money, and we weren't in a position to buy it. So it felt really bad. And we were like, okay, well, we'll find somewhere new and it will be okay and things. And we didn't. And then it was, and then so we ended up homeless. And that was a huge pivot. I just finished writing my book, Get Selfish, The Way Is Through. And I just had my book launch against the backdrop of living with my mom. again with my three children, hubby, cat and a dog. And it was very weirdest place I've ever been in my adult life. And that was the breeding ground that I basically decided enough was enough. I was meant for more. I knew I had so much potential inside of me. I felt the calling to create an online business.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided that was it. I was going to create an online business and no matter what. So I went with my biggest loves, which was coaching and business coaching and spiritual coaching. So I moved my entire operation online. I stopped doing offline events. And within a year and a half, I'd retired my husband. Then nearly 2 years to the start, I retired my daughter from her day job and she came and worked for us as well. And then the business just kept building. We hit, by that time we'd hit six figures, and then we hit multiple six figures. And then this year we have done over, as we're speaking now, we've done over $780,000 this year, cash banked, and over $900,000 in sales.
Dude, so good. So good. But again, that journey, right? That you had to get there for yourself. And also that you knew that no one was coming to save you. You had to be able to finally put yourself first, put some of those limiting beliefs to the side and really prioritize yourself, knowing that it was going to be key to you just being able to breathe and be there for your family on any given day. I know, I'm not too sure if you know about another lady by the name of Melanie Ann Layer. And I've been reading some of her stuff lately and watching some of her stuff. And one of the things that she has also talked about is the quantum leaps that people have. And she said, you know, when you hit that rock bottom, and she talked about like homelessness, for example, illness. She had a concussion this year herself and a few other things. She said, people know, like, how did you describe it? It's like, there's something in you that when you hit rock bottom, you're like, okay, man, I've been there. I've done it. Nothing can really get much worse than this. Like, you are, and you're like, I'm fucking all in. Like, I'm ready for it. I'm ready to kick some serious ass. Did that feel like the same for you? Like, once you kind of was able to get your health back on, did you feel kind of similar that you're like, listen, we're just going full throttle? And do you feel like that contributed to kind of those leaps that you had by being able to retire your husband so fairly relatively early on in the piece? And then your daughter, what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah. So, Melanie's actually one of my mentors. So, I'm in her world. So yeah. I didn't go full throttle because basically when I first started this business, I decided that if I could not build this business from feminine energetics, if it was not possible to build this business from feminine energetics, I didn't want to be part of it. I absolutely, I used to be proud of my hustle. And now the saying that I live by is hustle is for people who don't know how to flow. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to build this business entirely from feminine energetics. And I wanted to build this business entirely from flow. So there wasn't this full throttle, but I was absolutely going for it. And I was absolutely going to see if my theory of being able to build a business from feminine energetics was feasible. Mm-hmm. That's what I absolutely wanted to test out. And so everything had to be in this divine alignment and what I call super alignment. So where I'm aligned first, and then everything aligns from that place onwards.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the business, and I had a lot of business experience because when, you know, I started this business, I was already 18 years in business. So it wasn't like I was a little fresh chippy on the block. You know, there would have been questions if I could not have pulled it off, you know, like in the speed that I pulled it off in, because it was really inevitable, because I knew what it took to run a successful business. And I had coached by that time hundreds of people in their businesses and looked under the lid of thousands of businesses by that stage. So for me, it was this experiment to see if it would actually work. And in the beginning, there was this feeling of I don't know if this is going to work or not. I don't know if this is, if it's actually even possible to build completely in feminine energetics, because we're so conditioned and taught that masculine energy is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so could I build a business from being instead of doing? And that mm-hmm. was like such a huge switch. And then I had my greatest fear when I first started building this business, because I had sailed so close to the wind with nearly dying, you know, was that I was absolutely terrified of another burnout. So mm-hmm. I was kind of walking myself through that and through those things. And it was in 2019 where I finally made the decision I wanted a seven-figure business, and that I wanted to go let's really take this car out of the garage. Let's stop revving the engine in the garage, thinking you're all that and a bag of chips. Let's really take this car out for a spin and see mm-hmm. what it can do. And then at the end of 2019, I spent 2019 setting up more robust systems in my business that could handle volume. And then at the end of 2019, I got the download for the $1 million experiment. And I remembered a book that I had written 8 years previously that was sitting half finished on my hard drive. So I went and retrieved it. And there was the $1 million plan. And I had this real kind of epiphany moment, like, oh my God, I've had to grow in these last 8 years so much to be the person that could honor this and put this out. And then we just went a little bit viral. And over 4,300 people joined us in the $1 million experiment, which was absolutely amazing. And all these people joined us, and we started the experiment on the 1st of January. And it's just been an incredible journey. A few weeks ago, we celebrated our first millionaire to come out of the container. It's a 20-step plan. Many people are at step 18 and step 19. So they're very close to the goal as well. But it's just been absolutely incredible. And it was a real quantum leap. We quantum leap then moving into that. And it's been proof that we can build a business entirely from feminine energetics. Our business in a way has been an experiment from day one, and I would definitely say it's a successful one.
So go back a little bit, because again, not all people will understand the definition of feminine energetics. Can we rewind a little bit, and can you tell us your definition of what that is, just so kind of everyone has a bit of a more clear understanding?
Yeah, sure. So feminine and masculine energy have natures. So the nature of a dog is to be a dog, and the nature of a cat is to be a cat. And mm-hmm. a cat can't suddenly become a dog, even if it learns to bark. Mm-hmm. Its nature is to be a cat. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to have the understanding that feminine energy is nothing to do with the sexual orientation or the gender of a person as much as the traits or natures of feminine energy and the natures of masculine energy. Mm-hmm. So the governing nature of feminine energy is being. Mm-hmm. So it's when you're still in your being, and meditation is a classic feminine energetic thing. Mm-hmm. So when we meditate, we're being, and we are still in, and it's an inner energy. So feminine is coming from the inside, mm-hmm. and masculine is an outer energy, and its primary kind of function, if you like, is doing. Mm-hmm. So the way most people run their businesses is from masculine energy. So the mm-hmm. outward energy, the outside world dictates to them how they're going to deal with everything, how they're mm-hmm. going to deal with their business, how they're going to deal with business decisions. It's always based in the outer world. So things like, let's do market research. That's a very masculine energy trait. Mm-hmm. So, and yes, it has its place and it works, right? You can go and research your market and see what people would want to buy from you and everything like that. feminine energy, that same energy scenario, how that would work in feminine energy is you would go inward and you would ask yourself, what would I like to give the world? Mm-hmm. What would I like to share? And so you then get the information from the inside. The masculine energy is seeking the information from the outside. So the inner world is getting that information. So you're getting that information in feminine energetics from the inner world, and then you're presenting it to the outer world. Mm-hmm. So it's feminine first, then masculine. So you're doing in feminine energetics, when you move into doing, which is masculine, it's all being directed from the feminine. Mm-hmm. In the sort of traditional business sense that we've been brought up in and we've seen, it's all about the outer world. And then you very, like as an afterthought, you think about your inner world, you think about feeling. And the inner world is all about feeling and intangible senses. And the outer world is all about the five senses. Can I touch it? Can I feel it? Where's the proof? Is there a formula? All of these things. And whereas and one of the things that I really want to state for your listeners is there is neither is good nor bad, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like masculine. I hear a lot of women talking about feminine energetics, and then they sort of almost make out like the masculine is bad. No, they're equal to each other. The problem in our society is that those two energies have not been equal to each other, which is why we have the patriarchy. But mm-hmm. remember, we equally have the matriarchy. And at one stage in our world, we actually had the matriarchal societies, and those fell and crumbled as well. And my personal spiritual belief at the moment is that we're in a time of bringing balance back, balance between the masculine and the feminine energy back into the wholeness, into unity. Mm-hmm. And that's what unity is all about, is bringing yourself back into a balanced version of both masculine and feminine. How I work is I go into the inner world first, because everything comes from the inner world. The inner world contains our dreams, our thoughts, our hopes, our aspirations, anything that's intangible and cannot be seen. Mm-hmm. They also, on a physical level, that's where babies come from, right? The soul. And then the baby is in when the baby is growing, it's literally an inner world thing. And at first it's only the mother that can feel the baby, right? Uh-huh. And then eventually it becomes outer world as that baby is birthed. So everything, our natural order is to come from the in to go to the out. Mm-hmm. But we have reversed that natural order, and so many people are fixed on the outer world first, and then they're like afterthoughting the inner world. Mm-hmm. So I check in with my inner world always. So it's always in alignment to my inner world, whatever I do. And then my instruction for my masculine energy always comes from inside out. Mm-hmm. Instead of outside in, which is how a lot of people operate.
No, totally makes sense. And I think it's so good, because a lot of people will be leading with more that masculine traditional way, quote unquote, of business, versus again having that conversation today about looking at the inner, that feminine energy, where that can come from. And again, what I love is that you work from a place of neither or is bad. You know, I get a lot of rap from I read a lot, I should say, in relation to, like, if you have masculine energy, it's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, no.
It's bad. And I'm like, well, I don't necessarily think that's true. I think, again, like, we are who we are. If you look at human design, if you look at certain characteristics. But I do think, again, it's that learned behavior, in my opinion, where we've learned something without, again, really tapping into that internal world that you're talking about, that feminine energy. So I definitely think it's something that can be, again, tapped into. But again, that's why today it's so great to have you here, because I think, well, I don't know, you know, I know an example. I was working with one of my clients today, and we were talking about different topics for a webinar. And I said to her, I said, I don't really care about the topic. I said, what lights you up? What gets you excited? What's your gut saying? What's that intuition saying? And she was saying, she's like, I want you for the business strategy. And I was like, yeah, I get that, right? But what's the feels? And she's like, but I want, like, what topic do you think is better? And I was like, no, we'll get to the topics, but that's not really my decision about what topics I think are better isn't really going to energetically flow if you're trying to put that out to the world, because yeah. It's my thought, not your internal Right. And so she kind of got it eventually when I was like, listen, as a business consultant, if I'm not encouraging you to like lean into that, the feels, lean into what you're good as, you become dependent on me. And I don't want people to become dependent. I want people to be strong and thought leaders and really lean into that. Right. But again, to our world is, again, what we've been taught or what we consume is so different. Right. So it's almost very counterintuitive sometimes, even though it's always been in us. But how we've either been raised potentially by family members, what we've observed in environments, what we've been taught on courses or whatever, isn't just that straightforward, right? There is a lot of relearning, in my opinion, and what I've experienced myself that has allowed me to have my own quantum leaps over the last couple of years because of that, you know, what I was consuming and what I was told, right? So when we think about, okay, so we've got the understanding of feminine energy, masculine energy, leading with the internal, and obviously the outer comes mm-hmm. into place. Tell me a little bit more about when we talk about spiritual wisdom collectively as a whole, right? What does that mean? Because obviously the whole topic of the podcast today is infusing traditional business with spiritual wisdom. So when you think of spiritual wisdom, what does that look like for you? And what would that look like for those listeners?
For me, spiritual wisdom is source connection. It's your mm-hmm. connection with source. So mm-hmm. I work on the principle that there is one source mm-hmm. and that everything that you see is a byproduct of that one source. So mm-hmm. all the people that you interact with is one source. The world that you live in is one source. Any animals, nature, all of it is one source. Mm-hmm. And if we look at it from a, so I study metaphysical science. So it's one of the things that I, in fact, I'm working on my doctorate for metaphysical science. So looking at it from a scientific point of view, the laws of physics tells us that everything is made of energy. And if mm-hmm. we look at that as a connecting force, that energy is the connecting force. So you're made of energy and I'm made of energy. So at one point we are made of the same thing, which is the one source. Mm-hmm. And so that's the scientific explanation. However, I go into the more woo, which is where the one source has a divine intelligence. So there mm-hmm. is a divine intelligence in that one source. And I really truly believe that spiritual wisdom is the tapping in of that one source when we tap in. And the only way that we can tap into one source is for us is to tap into it, you know, to really have a personal relationship with the one source. Now, you can call that one source whatever you want. You can call it unified field of consciousness. And that's what I believe the divine intelligence is a unified field of consciousness on which everything is connected. And it's also, in my humble opinion, the highest form of consciousness. So as we self-actualize and become more and more aware as human beings and the consciousness on the planet rises and we rise in consciousness, we then connect more and more with this unified field of consciousness. And so what if we look at different levels of consciousness, the first level of consciousness is very just about us. Mm-hmm. And we maybe experienced that where we didn't really think about other people. We just kind of thought about ourselves. And that's a kind of lower level of consciousness to begin with as we begin to do that. And we're focused on ourselves because normally we find ourselves in lack, mm-hmm. which is the opposite of source. So we're finding ourselves in lack and we're finding ourselves and everything is and the world's against us and it's us and the mean machine and, you know, and the mean machine of the world against us. And we're, you know, fighting the good fight and all the things. And then as our consciousness begins to rise, it becomes more loving because the nature of source is love. So as our consciousness rises, we start to realize, well, maybe the world's not against me. Maybe it's just some of the world that's against me. And I can maybe eke out a better life. So we start to think about maybe having a better life. And as we do that, we start to maybe include other people into our vision of like, well, maybe if I help other people have a good life, I will maybe get a good life as a result of this. So mm-hmm. our consciousness is rising. Then as our consciousness continues to rise, we start to realize like, oh, well, maybe it's actually the world is responding to me. Maybe it's not against me at all. Maybe this whole time it's just been responding to my vibration, what I've been sending out. I've been reaping what I sow. And I begin to understand that maybe my frequency is what's generating and projecting my life experiences. And we begin to rise in consciousness. And then we, as we continue to rise in consciousness, we actually get to a place where we begin to realize that actually that our best life lies in the helping and the improvement of everybody's lives. And that if we begin to dedicate our lives to this idea of your, what I call your soul mission, the mission mm-hmm. to bring as much of your light into this world as possible, remembering that your light is coming from that one source. Mm-hmm. And as we do that, we bring more source into the world, literally. And we're all these amazing conduits for source, and our potential is so infinite in each human being. It's not that some people have more potential than others. Everybody is born with an infinite potential inside of them. And it's whether we are going to rise in consciousness in order to experience that. The benefits of rising in consciousness is that your perspective changes and it becomes a higher and higher perspective. And if we use a mountain, for instance, as I climb up the mountain, I can see more. And once I finally get to the pinnacle of that mountain, I can see it all. I can mm-hmm. see the entire landscape around me. But when I'm down in that grassroots at the bottom of the mountain, I can see mountain. I can see maybe the village and I can see all the little things, but I don't maybe appreciate that the village is only one village of maybe 50 villages that actually live around the mountain. But when I'm on that peak, I will be able to observe all 50 villages and be able to see the interconnectedness of things. And this is ultimately what I teach, is to bring people into these higher states of consciousness.
Is there, I mean, obviously individuals are very different. And so I'm assuming here that people can take some people very quickly to go through different levels of consciousness, while others, it could be tougher, right? Depending on what barriers and internal messiness that they've got to work with. Is that a correct assumption?
Absolutely. I mean, I have this saying in my business, and I know that it really annoys some of my students, which is, you're not ready till you're ready. Mm-hmm. And so people ask quite often the question, and I'm sure you get this question all the time, how do I get that result? Mm-hmm. And you probably have already gotten to the level of consciousness where you realize, how did I get that result? It's not such a clever idea, because it's not such a clever question, because although it is a question, it's not the best question. And so in my world, what I say to people is, don't ask the question of how can I get that result? Ask the question, what would it take for me to be ready for that result? Mm-hmm. Because people get the results that they're ready for. They don't get them a moment before and a moment after they're ready. They get them when they're ready. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so it's about readying yourself for the result. And quite often, you know, I remember once working with a client and incredible woman who came to me, and what was really lovely was she came to me with her dreams intact. And that's very rare for adults to come to me with their dreams intact, because what happens is we negotiate our dreams, we negotiate them down. We think, well, if I do this, then maybe I can have that later, mm-hmm. instead of actually presenting this as what I wanted. But what was really funny was on our very first session, I had a look at her website. And I said to her, you literally have given me, like, there's no way for me to give you money. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I'm on your website. I said, there's absolutely no way for me to give you money. Like, there is no way for me to give you money. Go and have a look. Come on, we'll go and have a look at this website together. And we went through it, and she had a Patreon link. And that was literally the only way that I could part with money mm-hmm. on her website. And I was like, this is why you're not making money online, because mm-hmm. there's no way for me to get money online. And yep. so we had a bit of a laugh about it. But this is like a classic example of being, you're not ready till you're ready, mm-hmm. right? And just realizing that she wasn't quite ready yet, and she had to go through some stuff. And then often, you know, one of the things in getting yourself ready is, do you have the container to catch mm-hmm. that experience, aka do you have a link on your website that someone can actually purchase something? Or another classic example that I see a lot in people's businesses is that they're wanting to make these big money months, like 100K months or 50K months, or, you know, even wanting to have their first five-figure month. And then you look at their product suite, and the product suite is not designed to catch an experience like that. And if it is designed at all to catch an experience, it would need volume, like massive volume, which obviously is a kind of slightly harder job because you need more people to align and say, yes, that offers for me. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, requires a little bit more legwork in your marketing and your doing. Mm-hmm. Whereas in, you know, if you look at, are you set up to, you know, catch these experiences and things like that? And this is why people are just not ready till they're ready, because when you're ready, all of these pieces align, all of these pieces fall into place. So a better question, in my humble opinion, is what would it look like for me to be ready? What would it look like for me to be ready to catch this larger experience that I want, as opposed to how did you do that? Because my how is my personal experience. It may not translate for another human.
But also, would you also take that one step further in that people want to know the how to avoid the failure?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, this is one of the things of masculine conditioning, really, is that we have been, you know, if we look at feminine and masculine energy, of which one can walk with failure better. Feminine energy 100% walks with failure better. Masculine, it is an abhorrent ideal. And I think a lot of men, and this is referring to the gender men, is that a lot of men have this pressure that they cannot F up. They cannot, they have to 100%, you know, get it right every single time. And this is, I think, a real problem for people, is especially men, you know, they face that. And the thing is, I don't believe in failure. I believe that everything is ways that worked and ways that didn't work. And the information is just as valuable as each other.
100%.
You know, and I think that's it. And as long as you are taking that information, I call any information that happens to you, good, bad, or indifferent, however your human wants to judge that, that was a good experience, that was a bad experience, just see it as an experience. That's looking from the soul and the source perspective. So see it as an experience, and all of it is raw data to further your mission in life.
I know for me, I looked at my value ladder. You know, you could look at a value ladder, container, thesis, ecosystem, whatever word you want to use. And one of the things that I did is I created this program, totally in alignment, totally love it. But being able to have that container, being able to make sure that the energetic match was there, there's a few things that I was working on in my life at the time. And someone said in my team, and even my Facebook ads manager said, like, "And you're very calm about everything. Like, most people are upset that they haven't got the numbers, or their cost per leads are too high, or this or that." And I said, "Listen, the universe is giving me what I need. Why try and manipulate what that outcome is? Because I'll get what I need." And a lot of people in my team, and like I said, the ads team, they're not met with that answer very often. They're met with people, "Why isn't this happening? Why isn't this happening?" And I was like, "Okay, our ads are running. Yes. Did we do the copy? Yes. Could we change copy? Yes. Can we try different graphics? Yes. Are we doing all of that? Yes. All right. We'll just let whatever happens, happens." Right? Like, it's not like we're sitting here not adapting. It's not like we're not looking at the data. We are, and we're pivoting accordingly. But why get upset? So in that one, I wanted a minimum of 50 people, and I got 13. And people are like, "But Ange, you know, we didn't hit target. We didn't hit target now, but we might hit target next time." I was like, "There's a reason why we didn't hit target. I don't know what that answer is. But energetically, I didn't have the container in that space, whatever it looked like. I may have thought I did, but the universe gave me 13 people. So I welcomed those 13 people, right? We rock and roll, and we will rock and roll the next time." But when I see that,
universe gives you what you're ready for, right? Yes. And that's the thing. That's the crazy thing. And you know, like back in the day when I was just starting this business, like I wanted 100 people. I am so grateful I did not get 100
people.
Yes. I am so grateful. I was like, "Thank you, God." You know,
it could have messed up brand. Or
oh my God, my
experience
sales page was ugly. It was just not good. Yes. But now I have the hindsight to look back and be able to see that in hindsight and say how not ready I was for those 100 people. Today, I easily get 100 people signing up to things. You know, it's so different, you know, but now I can hold the energetic space and the energy for that and be so proud of the work that I put out. And I think that's the shift, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. 100%. And it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't come easy. It's still a work in progress, but just being, I've had to detach from the outcome. I've just had to go like, it is what it will be. Again, as long as I'm still, don't get me wrong, I'm still doing that outer work of the doing. I'm still, of course, setting up my sales page. I'm still setting up the ads. I'm still doing the doing. But I lean into more of that internal going, is it fun? Am I in alignment? Does it light me up? Is this going to help people? Is it contributing to my dreams? Okay, well, yes. Have we put systems in place? Yes. Have we taken action? Yes. Well, again, I'll get what is given to me, right? Like the right people will come to me in that space that, you know, I've carved out for them. So again, it wasn't always like that. I've had to work on that, especially over the last couple of years. But it does take people a little bit off guard when they're like, why can you just be so detached? And I'm like, but why couldn't you? Why do you have to be attached, right? So it's an interesting conversation for sure.
I think definitely. And I mean, practicing of detachment is definitely a spiritual principle. Mm-hmm. And I think we as humans, we you know, one of the biggest things that I would definitely say is responsible for some of my biggest coding. And what I mean by coding is like, what level of life are you coding for? What are you reaching your goals? Are you coding for your goals and things? And I would definitely see that. What are you making things mean? Because the biggest problem that we have as human beings is that we make everything mean something. Mm-hmm. So for instance, like if you got those 13 people, you could make it mean that you were terrible at business. You're not terrible at business. It's far from it. Mm-hmm. You still, you know, instead of the gratitude of 13 people signed up, you know, this is something. Mm-hmm. But what we do is we hold ourselves back by the meaning that we attach.
Yes.
To lots of different things. And when we detach, we create a conduit inside of ourselves, our inner feminine energetics, that just allows for smoother transitions to the next phase of life and the next phase of life and the next phase of life. But what jams that conduit up is all our own little meanings on things. We decide, you know, well, what does this mean, or oh my god, well, I put a masterclass out and I didn't get many people that signed up. Oh my goodness, this means this. And we make it all mean lots of different things, and it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest one is the money, right? We make money mean so many different things, don't we? Mm-hmm. If we don't have any, we make it mean that we're a terrible person. If we have some, we make it mean that we're rich, but we can go to the other extreme. If you have money, we can make it mean that we're now a terrible person and, mm-hmm. and things like that. And it just means you have money or you don't have money. Like that's all it means. It just means what it is. But we attach these other meanings that are not even true.
I also think that there's something to be said about the universe is always listening, right? Mm-hmm. You might not believe it, you might not think it, but you know, there's many examples that I could give. But one of my clients recently, when we start working with her and we start looking at her like ideal client and what she was doing, I was like, listen, I was like, when you talk about this, this is your body posture and this is your language. But when you talk about this cohort of people, you sit up taller, you're more articulate, you're more confident. Do you think your ideal client is actually who? And so she's like, actually, no, you're right. She's like, I've been trying to create this business around the wrong ideal client. And she's like, and it makes sense that I'm attracting the wrong people. They're then leaving. I'm getting shitty. So she messaged me the other day and she said, and you're not going to believe this. She said, 3 of my past clients have said they're no longer continuing with me. I said, okay. And I said, the universe is giving you exactly what you want. And she's like, but I've just lost my money. And I said, not forever. You haven't. The universe is listening to what we've been putting in place. The universe heard that you, right? These people aren't working for you. They're not lighting you up. They're just de-cleaning, right? Or cleaning out those people to make way
literally,
for the new
bye,
people.
Felicia.
Yeah, exactly. Bye-bye. And she's
Thank you so much for being in my life, but bye-bye.
Exactly. And she was like, oh, she's like, you're right. She's like, they're just paving the way for where I'm going. And I'm like, yes, right? But again, she's got a pretty solid like mindset and she kind of gets it. But some of my new ones who are in that startup phase, they're not quite there yet to receive that, right? So that's why these conversations today are so important, because some of this may have been like how I was when I first started hearing these things, like, what the fuck are these people talking about? I don't get it, right? But I'm about planting the seeds for people, planting the seeds for them to have something new to look at, planting the seeds about the feminine energetic side of things and not just the masculine energy side of things, planting the seeds about your higher levels of consciousness and what that looks like and everything in between. So I can't appreciate you enough, Joanna, being able to come on and to share some of that wisdom.
I'll leave you with one piece of wisdom, which I love, this planting the seeds. I say to my clients and my students, we are farmers of energy. Mm-hmm. And the only piece of energy that traditionally is celebrated is bringing home the harvest. Mm-hmm. So that's when you're nailing it. You're making bank, you're doing all the things, right? And it's bringing home the harvest. And it's the only piece of energy that people think matters in an online business. But it is actually the planting of the seeds. And it has three stages. So I say it's the planting of the seeds, the tending of young shoots, and then bringing home the harvest. But we've got to remember, there is no harvest if there is no planting of seeds. There is no tending of young shoots. And those two are so important in order to bring home a healthy harvest. And yet we praise bringing home the harvest. When somebody hits that income goal, it's like, yay. But that is one piece, because that person planted good seeds, tended young shoots, nurtured the seeds, and then they got to bring home the harvest. But if we're so focused on just bringing home harvest in business, the crops eventually die because no one's planting any more seeds.
But you also really, I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but you, at the beginning, you talked about bringing home the harvest. But when you started talking about, you know, planting of the seeds and then the shoots, you said you bring home a healthy harvest. And that to me also resembles not burning out, right? You've put mechanisms in place for that self-care, that self-love. Whereas when you're just bringing home the harvest, that's when I typically see the highest burnout, the highest stress. There's also normally some level of financial pressure because they've like wasted so much money on ads. Just because they brought home the harvest doesn't mean it's a profitable harvest. They've just, right? And there's more layers to that. But I really like that distinction between the healthy harvest versus just the harvest, right?
Yeah, and you've got to plant good seeds for that. I always say if the energy's not baked in at the beginning, it sure as hell not going to show up at the end, right? Mm-hmm. So my thing that I run by everything is, will this bring me ease? Will it bring me joy? Will it bring me flow? Mm-hmm. And if I get one no, then I don't do the project. If I get three yeses, I call it being green lighted, and whatever I'm working on gets full go ahead in my company and my business. So all about ease, joy, and flow from the beginning to the end. And that way we make sure we align with the energy that we want as an end result. You know, are you building your business for a hard slog, or are you building your business to live a life of ease, joy, and flow?
They're so good. So good. Now, for those individuals out there that are like, I need a little bit more Joanna in my life. I'm a little bit more curious. I need to learn a little bit more. What's happening in 2022 and how can people connect with you?
So come and connect with me on Facebook. I'm aging myself there, but I'm a big fan of Facebook. So you can come and connect with me on Facebook or my community Be Magic on Facebook as well. Mm-hmm. And that's where I hang out the most, or you can get me on my website, which is joannahunter.com. Mm-hmm. And yeah, come and join me in my world. Every month without fail, I do a free masterclass. So I give high value or pour as much into those free masterclasses as I do in my paid for programs. Mm-hmm. I don't do any paid for advertisement at all in my business. So so those masterclasses are a great way to get to know me, to get to know what I'm all about and things like that. So yeah, just make sure you look out for those. You'll see them on my socials. We always advertise them there, but as I say, we don't run any paid for ads in our business.
No, fantastic. And for those listeners out there, I've got one final question that I like to ask the podcast guests. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business those many years ago?
That is a juicy question. Kindness to yourself. Mm-hmm. you know, when I started at 23 years of age, I was not very kind to myself. I had quite a harsh inner critic. So nothing I did in my own head was good enough. And I think don't ever underestimate the kindness of your own kindness to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Kindness. Be kind to yourself. Always hindsight. Such a good thing, isn't it? But again, we learned those lessons along the way. And before we sign off, just a reminder that my team and I will be putting together the show notes for this episode at angelahenderson.com.au. I'll make sure that I add Joanna's Instagram link, her Facebook link, and her website so you've got easy accessibility to be able to connect with Joanna. And for you amazing human who have been here today to plant those seeds, get ready for the shoot, and get ready for a healthy harvest, I hope you have a fabulous day no matter where you are in the world. And I look forward to you joining me again next week for another awesome episode of the Business and Life Conversations podcast. Thanks again so much for your time today, Joanna.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, and I can't wait for it to air and I'll share it with my audience.
Dude, so fun. Thanks so much, Joanna.
Thanks for listening to the Business and Life Conversations podcast with Angela Henderson. www.angelahenderson.com.au